Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Trade Mornings for Toyota. Receive added value when you trade in your car for a Toyota certified pre-owned vehicle. And for Host Plus, proud supporters of Trade Radio. Host Plus, the official superannuation partner of the AFL.
Good morning and thanks for joining us. This is Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tyres, when everything counts, count on Continental. The lines are always open. The Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1300 23 55 48. Or text us on 0419 187 323 or via Twitter. You can tweet us at Trade Radio. Thanks to Kano and Lordo for their work this morning. Always nice for them to lead off the batting and the bowling. They do everything for us. Got a big show coming up for you this morning, the next 3 hours. Got a lot to talk about, a lot to get through. Speaking of Dom Tyson, and in particular, what is the next step for him? Mitch Cleary will be joining us later this morning for all the latest and the greatest in regards to the trade whispers as it currently stands right now. But right now, get to spend the next 3 hours, as we all do, with a great man, a guy that's played 334 games across two football clubs. Good morning to you again, Brendan Goddard. Beach.
Nicholas, listeners, how are we? Lovely morning to
how
wake
are you?
Up to in Melbourne.
How are you?
Well, good vibes this time of year.
It is a lovely vibe. I'm going to get straight into it because I want to speak about vibe. And as I woke up this morning, I was thinking a similar thing last night, Beach. What are the D's doing right now? Now, clearly they're on Perth time, so they're a couple of hours behind where we are sitting at the moment.
What are we, Tuesday? They've had Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, three nights.
What are they doing?
3 nights into I think Goody made mention they were staying on for about 5 days.
Yeah, so the Dogs are coming home today. They had some medical exits yesterday, and you know, even though they did lose, I saw some images and some vision of them celebrating or just having some catch-ups.
Right. We've been there.
Drowning the sorrows. So they're coming home today, and they'll be a little bit dusty.
The only difference is they already got a medal. Nine of those guys.
A few of the guys do. But what are the D's doing right now, Beach?
Yeah, no, they're probably thinking about, well, what are we 2 hours behind? No, they're not waking up just yet. Or some of them still haven't probably been prepared.
I had this thought a few years ago. So before COVID hit and the Tigers won their first and their second premiership, I would constantly think within the first week, what is Dustin Martin doing right now? And don't say he's probably putting. Like, what is he actually doing?
Dusty in particular, I think no one knew or knows, so that's the mystery and mystique.
Do you reckon that
him.
The D's have woken up over the last 3 or 4 days? And just because you've won a premiership, it doesn't mean you don't wake up feeling a little bit under the weather. But do you reckon they have the ability to look down, see what's still hanging around their neck, quite possibly still in their football jumpers, and that feeling of being hungover and dusty
and
is completely
still got their footy
gone?
Boots on and their whole kit.
Does the medal take away the feeling of how cook you are?
Think about how we managed to get ourselves through a number of footy trips and post, you know, season celebrations, and we used to carry on a little bit. Even if we didn't make finals, there was probably a week there where we made the most of it. So you can imagine how much easier it is when you've just climbed the peak, you've climbed Mount Everest, you stuck the D's flag in, and you got the medal. So I think it's a lot easier to wake up to and go, what have I got on today? Oh, we've got to celebrate again.
Well, you and I never got to experience this, and we do get reminded from time to time from people. It's one area that we get criticised. Well, you guys never won one, so what would you know? Which has a valid point within it. Do you think you would have spent the week, particularly after either of those grand finals in 9 and 10, and done anything differently if you had have won?
Yeah, our celebrations would have been completely different.
Tell me how.
What do you mean? Can you remember it was 09, the first grand final we made, and that we had it was 09?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we played 09 and 10.
Yeah, but we had to go to Etihad Stadium at the time.
And that's right. I forgot about that.
Confront the supporters. It was meant to be a function. And there's that whole interchange side, bottom level was full. And then all the space in front of that to the center square. There's people everywhere.
Yeah.
Like 10,000 to 12,000 people there. And half of them are crying. It was so depressing. Like, I'm in all seriousness. So can you imagine
that.
The feeling of that? Like, what I loved about Richmond too is when they rocked up, there's obviously history at Punt Road. They rocked up to Punt Road. They obviously just hadn't been to bed. Like, they're standing in there in their footy jumpers and the crowd, and they're up there celebrating on stage. Like, our experience is completely different to theirs.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And, like, I'm seeing people that I knew, like, bringing back memories, but that crying to me or trying to talk to me and have a chat, and they were just in tears. Like, it was so depressing. It was No, a completely different experience. So that's it would have been completely different.
Yeah, okay.
There would have been no pressure from the wife or the missus to
come
when
home.
When are you coming home? It's like, mate, I've got a free pass for the next...
Lifetime.
It's 3 months.
That number again, a number again for the Kogan Mobile open line is 1300 23 55 48, or the text line is 0419 187 323. Well, this is maybe a little bit just to drown the sorrows, or just to put it in perspective, that the D's made four delistings yesterday, or three of them, and Aaron Vandenberg has asked to be moved on. So Jay Lockhart, who almost should have been delisted on the spot for that tackle that he did on Charlie Spargo leading into the grand final, that was just crazy behaviour. Austin Bradkey, son of, and Aaron Neach has all been told that they won't be required next year. So
Vandenberg's asked to be traded, essentially.
Yeah. To find another home. He's been riddled with injuries. Yeah. He's as hard as a cat's head.
That must be a tough decision.
And then you put that into perspective, Beach. You've just won your first flag. These guys weren't involved in the 23, but you've just won their first flag in 57 years. Everybody is celebrating accordingly. Then on a Monday afternoon, you have some form of an exit meeting, and then all of a sudden it becomes really, really real that unfortunately you're not a part of it anymore.
I think players, my experience my last few years, is that players in those positions wanted to know earlier than later. So if the club had known, so these guys may have been told that they're, you know, unlikely, or however you want to phrase it and word it, that it wouldn't look likely. So I don't think it would be like a massive surprise to these guys.
And the reason that they do have to tell them pretty quickly is, well, there's a reason we're sitting here, that these conversations are already taking place. Wouldn't have been shocked if they'd been taking place privately between clubs, players, managers, that, hey, you need to get a wriggle on. I know that you've made it to the last weekend of the football season, which is exceptional. You take nothing away from that, but it moves on so quickly. They've got to keep evolving and be ready to go come Friday afternoon for free agency and then the trade period.
Each team, I think on average, is five players get delisted, or...
I think there has to be a natural turnover anyway. Is it three to five? I think it is off the top of my head.
So that's just a natural turnover, a natural progression of your list, regardless. Like Melbourne's a perfect example.
Here's another
players and four guys are out.
Here's another one that I heard. There has never been a premiership team that has played those exact same players ever. So the 23, for example, that we saw on Saturday night from the D's will never line up ever again. That is what history has shown us. In any game.
Wow.
In history, no premiership team has ever rolled out the same team and played together exactly the same.
In any one game. Okay, that's good.
Now, you quickly think through that. So the obvious one is probably a retirement.
Yeah, injuries.
Yeah, you look back to, say, the Hawthorn of 2008. Shane Crawford retires after that game. I think Trent Crowe, that was his last game. He broke his leg or his ankle or whatever it was. Yeah, never played again. So, but I find that staggering. I just wonder whether this team and its age demographic, whether this could actually break the trend.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things have to go right in terms. So there's no delistings and there's no retirements from that team. Mm-hmm. So the only thing really stopping them is selection.
Yep.
Someone for not getting selected, it may number of issues. So injury, whatever. So get through a preseason. So yeah, the likelihood of happening, like you alluding to, is probably higher with Melbourne because of where they're based. No player over 200 games. I think there was no one in the game that was over 30. I think Steph Martin from Bulldogs as well, but in particular D. So
Steph Martin was.
Yeah, he definitely was 30.
Yeah. Yep. What about Easton Wood?
Is he 30?
Yeah, I think he is. Off the top of my head, I reckon he must be pushing.
That's another comment.
Maybe we have a chat about him as well at some stage because, I mean, it's nothing against him. He's been an absolute warrior for that football club. We know what he did for that football club in 2016, but he had the matchup on Bailey Fritch, and we know that clearly it's more of a team defence, but when that ball's coming in thick and fast out of that midfield and it's 6-6-6, and he was coming off, he was the one that was starting in the goal square and being very proactive, which is an instruction from the coaching staff, but he just got caught out a few times. So it's not necessarily about him, but where does this group evolve, being the Western Bulldogs? What changes do they have to make? And it can be extremely brutal at times. And this is just the on-field part. So I look at Easton Wood and think what he's done from that football club, before that football club, particularly as the leader and the culture that they've created. I'm not necessarily saying he needs to be moved on, but in regards to what that team needs to do to make up the deficit from the weekend, then, you know, there'll have to be some natural changes. And that's just the evolution of football clubs.
Just off the top of my head, I was thinking what would be the change. I know we'll probably later in the week or next week we'll do an in-depth list analysis, but like someone, I keep thinking throughout the year, like someone like Johannesson, is it at a point where he goes, yeah, I've been a great servant here, but for my opportunity, because he's going to be continually on the fringe. What's going to change really with his game or the team that he then finds a permanent role? Like, he's in and out of the team, sub, you know, is it natural evolution for him?
He's got to be careful because he played a couple of really good games as the medical sub. And whether the medical sub stays or
plays, not where you want
but
to
don't
be.
Become a specialist in that one particular role right. because you miss out on a lot of opportunities and there is nothing worse.
Play a few stinkers
for that. I feel so sorry for those players that have been the medical sub. Don't get on. And even when we're allowed to have crowds, the crowds have left and that poor bloke is running laps or doing a gut-busting session in the middle of the MCG or at Optus Stadium. I'm like, that is just not right. That person needs to have more involvement in the game and shouldn't have to be doing additional running off the back of it. Now, Beach, the first thing I want to get into this morning, and we started on it yesterday, we got through 9 players of the Dells dozen of our trade intrigue. So for those that might have missed it yesterday, I doubt if you did, we just went through 12 players that we've got that we are intrigued about for different reasons.
9 of 12, didn't we?
So we got through 9 of 12. So we spoke about Adam Chera, Peter Laddams, Jeremy Finlayson, Daniel Talia, Big Mason Cox, Rory Lobb, Big Rory Lobb, Jordan Clark, Tom Mitchell, Jared Brander, and we've got 3 to go. So as we round out this last part of this segment, Beach, the next name I want to throw to you with intrigue is Sam Petreski-Seaton. Now, the intrigue around it is probably more of the value. So this is a guy that was pick 6 in 2016.
So I mentioned to Sammy Edmund, that is, that it's going to happen.
Yep.
But
most of these things do happen.
That Vossi had caught up with Sam and sounds like had a discussion whether it was trying to convince him to stay or change or otherwise or Vossi's plans for him. But I think the reality is now that Sam's made up his mind and it's one way or another, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's made his intentions clear that he wants to get back to WA and West Coast in particular. So I think let's just assume that it is going to happen. So now it's a matter of, I'll let you lead now that how it's going to happen.
Well, before we get to that, let's hear from Stephen Silvani, who spoke on Sam Petreski-Seaton yesterday.
What I do know about Sam is I haven't been there for a couple of years, but he certainly enjoyed his time at the Carlton Football Club. So there must have been a big turnaround in the last sort of 12, 18 months to think that he wants to go home because he's always wanted to play his football in Victoria, but for whatever reason, he's swaying to go back west. I mean, I think the difficulty is his best is very, very good. And then he hasn't played great footy this year. It's been a strange year for him because initially when we selected Sam, we saw him as a mid forward or a forward mid. He's pretty much spent his time the last 2 years down back. And then my understanding is when he's been dropped to go back and play VFL, he's played midfield and he's done well through the midfield. And then when he's been brought up, he really hasn't played midfield. So I think the difficulty with the Blues is trying to find that right mix in that centre square. They found it really difficult to be able to get their younger players through there.
Is he a hard worker?
Yeah, I think he is. I think a lot of young players coming through, there's an element of maturity. I wouldn't say he's elite in terms of his preparation. I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't say he's a poor worker. He always looks fit. I guess the difficulty for him is that when he does come home, it's Halls Creek. There's not a lot you can sort of do up there. But he brings effort. There's certainly some stuff in his game that he's got to clean up. But you know, he's only, what is he? He's 22 years
kids
of age.
Do, yeah.
Still a baby. He should be coming into his prime.
He's perfect for West Coast. They need someone like that in the midfield.
Well, there's the big sausage. Speaking about Sam Petreski-Seaton.
Draft him?
I believe so. Yeah, he would have been at the football club when and fully responsible. Are you saying that it was a little bit of bias in regards to Sauce's comments?
I think we're at footy clubs long enough to know that the recruiters have a very special place in their heart for players that they like. Adrian Dodoro is much like this, but every player he gets in he should have been a top 10. We got him at number 30. He was an absolute steal.
He was still left on the board.
Can't believe he was still left there.
Let's put this in perspective as well, because Adam Simpson also spoke about Sam Petreski-Seaton going back to September 22nd.
Adam, Sam Petreski-Seaton has requested a trade to the Eagles. How hands-on were you in that process?
No, not a lot. No, that's still, they're going to work through that. And, yeah, I'm sure both clubs will, you know, hopefully we can work through it. But, no, not a lot, to be honest, Sam. We got an indication that Sam was looking to get home and more than happy to oblige. So we'll let the two clubs work through that and hopefully we can get what Sam wants and what we want.
Is he a midfielder?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think mid-forward is probably where he belongs, but I know he went down back there for a little while at the Blues. And, you know, for us, if it was all to work, we'd have to go through and see how he feels. But I think having the flexibility at the moment is a good thing. But getting him settled would be a priority as well. But, you know, a lot of water to go under the bridge before we worry about that.
That's Coach Adam Simpson of the West Coast Eagles speaking on Sam Petreski-Seaton from September 22nd, Beach. So, I mean, there's a little bit to work through here. So he's clearly nominated a club, specifically the West Coast Eagles, knowing that there's a club next door to them being the Freo Dockers. So I think there's something to play out here that what's in the best interest for the Blues? Do they have an opportunity to take back some of that power that we speak about in these situations? Say, Sam, we don't want you to leave, but we're okay if you do. But you're going to be going to a club that is down the road from the club that you've nominated, if that is what is best for us. So I have a quick look at the draft picks, and it's going to be more complicated than this. But the West Coast Eagles currently holds pick 10, 29, 35, 49, and 65. So clearly they won't need all of that, and they'll have to have a mixture of something. But the Freo Dockers, as I mentioned, just down the road, but haven't been nominated by Sam Petreski-Seaton, have got 8 and 27. So if he is to go, well, first of all, what player is he? I mean, we've just heard mid-forward, and there's so many in that. There's different styles of mid-forwards, just before you get to answer that. You've got the mid-forward variety of a Petrarca, a Jordan DeGoey, a Dustin Martin, a Bontempelli, and Nat Fyfe. So they're their own category. Or you've got this mid-forward that is, well, I'm resting, and I'm just playing as a half-forward, but I sort of come up onto the ball anyway. Probably more back in our day, that's what a mid-forward was. Now you've got these bulls that are like strikers that just go forward and have instant impact. Where do you see him playing his best football, and what does his best football look like?
I think that's the biggest question. So, Soss is probably in the best position to answer that. I think early days, but now I think Teague and Carlton the last couple of years are probably in the best position because they've tried him in a number of areas. So
Have they tried him in a number of positions because he wasn't doing his initial role enough?
Well, that's correct, but I also look at How many guys at Carlton want to be in the midfield? You got Kennedy.
All of them.
Exactly. So it's like, how do they move the jigsaw puzzles to, you know, make it all fit? Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's this disconnection between where he's playing. When he goes back to VFL, he plays in the midfield, does really well, comes into the team off the back end, a good form in the midfield, and then they put him in half forward or on half back flank.
Yeah.
And you know that as a player, that's pretty, you know, disrupts any kind of confidence or anything you've built when you want to go back to VFL fine form. It's kind of dissipates when you get into the team and you're playing a completely different role and you can't have the impact that you were at VFL level and that kind of thing. We know it's a different kettle of fish, but it's I think that's the biggest thing for him. He, at some point, I think it sounds like he's got to take responsibility. It's like Warrell reports, Eddie Betts has come out, what he said, it might have been a couple of months ago, talking about Sam, is that he wants to be a midfielder. And it's like, that's fine, mate. What work do you got to do to become that midfielder? And like, what are you doing or what are you going to do that's going to put you ahead of, this is when we're at Carlton, Dow or now Kennedy, who spent some time in the back end of the year. Mm-hmm. Then he's not pushing out Cripps and Walsh. So he'll be like,
Williams tried to go through there.
But it's like, what are you doing, mate? So it's, Eddie talked about he's probably not fit enough, so it's, mate, you got to get to a point where you're able to run out of game. You want to be, so there's a number of things he needs to take responsibility for and improve on, but that's the biggest thing. So it's,
is it Sam's best interest to go to the West Coast Eagles? I'm just quickly having a look through their midfield group and a couple of their half forwards. So I was extremely disappointed with West Coast. I was really bullish on what they could be this year, and I think over the last 2 years they should have played a lot better football and more consistent footy. But that is what it is. But I look through their midfield: Yo, Shuey, Kelly, Redden, Sheed, Andrew Gaff, I'd put into that category. And then you go to the half forward line and you even think about Liam Ryan's going to come through that midfield just for that pinch hit role, just for, is that half, just coming up and having that moment. Jamie Cripps is a half forward. Petrocelli's there as well. Waterman, who seems like he's sort of cemented his position. Zach Langdon's also there. And then you've got a handful of these young guys that are just sort of waiting in the wings for an opportunity. So I'm looking through that and I'm thinking, if I'm Sam Petrescu-Seaton and I want to play more football, how many games do you reckon he's played?
You said it before, 90 or something?
94 games. That shocked me a little bit to realise that he's played 94 games. But anyway, that's a different story. But I can't see him breaking into that team or part. Well, yeah, he could get into that team, but I can't see him holding down a regular position in that mid-half forward role.
With all going well, like if those guys are fit, we know the injury concerns that Shuey's had.
Yep.
Yo's going to be better.
Yo's had some injuries.
Yeah, but he'll be fine next year. So all going well for the Eagles, yeah, he probably struggles a little bit. So if he wants to play that role, if that's a discussion with Adam Simpson and West Coast, we'll...
And Willie Rioli's returning to that half forward line.
He's just got a lot of work to do to get where he thinks he wants to be. And I just wrote down, what he does do well, he uses the ball well, he's a good decision maker. We saw that off the halfback when he was playing for Carlton. But my question mark, Soss touched on, he wasn't convinced of it, but his work rate, his work ethic, you know, to get fit, to be in a position where he can play consistently, durability, find continuity with his body, that's all off the back end of hard work in the preseason. By the sound of his fitness is the biggest question mark. And then that, and again, what I'm alluding to, it ties into his overall work ethic behind the scenes. So he's got a bit of work to do if he wants to get to where he is. But you make a good point. He's got more of an opportunity now because of Chera's departure from Fremantle. They're crying out for a midfielder.
Yep.
Slightly different, again. Chera, slightly bigger body. We know how important those guys are these days. But there's an opportunity, mate, and an opening at Fremantle that you could play there
that
for
makes
the next
more sense
eight,
to me.
8 years. Is it? You know, it's there if you want it. You've got to work to get it. But
I know they're just names on paper, and there's a huge risk in the AFL world when you look at names on paper and you assume that you're going to get an outcome from a particular player. But that just seems to make more common sense that you go to Freo
with
a midfield
right?
opportunity so, naturally becoming
so
open.
I'll ask you the question. When you left St Kilda, what influenced your decision?
I did a spreadsheet. This is correct. You honestly want to know? Yep. I did a spreadsheet of all the clubs that I thought I was a chance to go to, what they currently had, what they had a deficit in, and trying to analyse the sort of player that I was. And I was brutally honest, and we know what sort of player we are in our heart of hearts. And I looked and thought, where can I complement and help the collective group that is already there? Yep. And I did it for the majority of clubs. And I thought that there was a gap, and then had the conversation clearly with the Kangas and some other clubs as well. I thought, this is best suited for where I can play good regular senior football, but also contribute and try and win some damn games and play some finals. Yeah. That was my whole analysis.
So we're similar boats because we're similar times of our careers. But yeah, we did the whole list analysis of the clubs that I potentially wanted to go to that they showed interest. So it's like, what suits me? Where are they at?
Yours also had a column for money as well. Mine didn't have that column.
Did it?
Mm.
Yeah.
It was a big column for you,
we could talk
Brendan.
About that off air.
It was a big Nick, column for you.
I know all about that. But you thought about what was best for you and then what you want to achieve at that point in your time. And I think, I don't know, Sam can only answer that, but it's about playing regular football because West Coast, let's be honest, probably aren't going to be in a position if it's not this year, then it's a solid rebuild for the next 2 to 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
So you'd have to think that comes into his calculation about where he can play, where he fits in, and where he can play regular footy.
All good, all good. Let's pick this up more when we come back. Plenty to come today. Dom Tyson, Mitch Cleary. We'll listen back to some of the comments from Matty Rendell, Big Bundy, on the Pies yesterday. Marty Pass spoke to the boys this morning on the early trade. This is Trade Mornings for Toyota. Certainty is a great feeling. Search Toyota Certified and Host Plus, the official superannuation partner of the AFL.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts on Continental.